morning, brethren. It's good to see you all on this last great day. It was mentioned here at the feast that the love of money is the root of all evil. So we should therefore rid ourselves of our money and give it all to the church. Just kidding. Instead, let's turn to Mark chapter 12. We'll read verses 41 to 44. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41 to 44. There's an important lesson I'd like to bring out, and that is having the right attitude when we give our offerings. So Mark chapter 12, we'll start in verse 41. It says, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" We know that the rich, including the scribes and Pharisees, were all about looking good in front of a crowd, having trumpets blown, putting in boatloads of money to impress the crowds just to show how righteous they were. By contrast, the widow only put in 2 mites, which is just a few cents these days. But by that, we see that she worshipped God out of a deep humility and genuine devotion. It was her attitude behind the offering that pleased the Lord. Brethren, you can give God $1 million, but with the wrong intentions, it means nothing to him. He doesn't want $1 million. He doesn't even need $1 million. All he wants is a pure heart from us. It's all about attitude. If your attitude is right, your offering will be pleasing to him. Let's look at another example. Turn to Micah chapter 6. We'll turn to Micah chapter 6. We'll read verses 1 to 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Israel is misbehaving again here. God is pleading with them through their prophet Micah to change their ways and their hearts. We'll start in verse 1 to set the context. Micah chapter 6 and verse 1. And it says, "Hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a complaint against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord." So here the Lord summarized his great mercies to Israel and all that he's done for them, including his saving works in bringing them out of Egypt and delivering them from the evils that Balak and Balaam had planned. Yet time after time, Israel reverts back to having an impure heart. Now let's focus in on these next verses. Verse 6. "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" We see that Micah is trying to suggest to Israel offerings that might seem to please the Lord. Some of them go above and beyond what the law demands, even going against the law by offering up a child. Fortunately, Micah is just using some exaggeration here to get his point across. So, what will please the Lord? Verse 8. Here it is. "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So at the end of all this, brethren, even if the Israelites offered thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil, it was utterly meaningless unless they changed their hearts, that is, to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. They had to change their attitude in order to please him with their offerings. Let's turn to one more scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Who here likes getting gifts, especially at the feast? Let's have a show of hands. All right, everyone's hand should be up. Come on. All right, hands down. Now imagine if someone came up to you with a gift card in their hand, yet grudgingly said, "Here, I got you this, but only because someone told me to. Boy, I really could use this for myself, but here, just take it. Hope you like it." Now, how do you feel about that, brethren? How do you think God would feel if we did that with our offerings to him? Would that truly be giving? Not remotely. A gift comes from here. With all the blessings God has given us, we should be happy to give to him. Also, notice the ending of that verse. God doesn't just likes a cheerful giver. He doesn't just appreciates them. God loves a cheerful giver. And that's you and I, brethren, right? Yes, God would be exceedingly pleased with us if we give to him straight from the heart, because we love him and we want to obey and honor him. He loves a cheerful giver. Let that sink in. In conclusion, brethren, just like the widow and her two mites, let's strive to have the right attitude when we give our offerings to God. One more thing. Sometimes we might not know how much to give. We might even worry that we didn't put in enough. But someone in the church told me, if you have the right heart when you give, the amount that you give will always be right. You never have to worry about the amount if you have the right attitude.